Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, my friend?
We're making it, Jimmy. Faking it till we make it, but we're making it. Battling through the dog days. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, about the same, Andy. It's funny. It's like as we get older, it gets worse, this cold weather, this winter. And you know what? My take on it for years has been, I am good through like December and Christmas, okay, for winter. January, yeah. And once we hit February, I am done. I am finished with it. And this year, February, of course, coincides with the snow, the even colder weather. Andy, I am tired of it. I now want to fast forward when December's over. I want to go straight to April 1st.
It just seems longer as we get more life season. It just seems like, has it been cold for like 31 weeks? And, yes. You know, it just seems longer. But, hey, we could always move south. We could always move west and, you know, live in yes. Phoenix or Southern Cali or something.
That option is always out there. All right. Before we get started, Andy, just want to make one mention. Andy, you will be out next week. So before anybody asks me, oh, my goodness, what happened to Andy? Is he coming back? Yes, I assume he is. He'll be out. We'll call it you're out on assignment next week, Andy.
Okay. I will take that. If you consider my assignment, my ability to manage my golf swing, I'll take that as my assignment.
Andy, going south for a little bit of golfing. And just a quick note from me personally, Andy, and from all our listeners, we all hate you for it, okay?
Right.
Just so you are aware of it. All right, let's get going. Let's get to Penn State football. Going to start, Andy, with some news and notes, couple interesting things going on. One of them, we're finding out now, one of Penn State's games, the schedule came out, one of the games was moved from a Saturday to a Friday night. That's at Northwestern, moved to Friday. And that day, they are going to christen their new stadium at Northwestern. What do you think?
Yeah, that's really cool. They've done some major renovation. It's a major overhaul of a stadium that needed a major overhaul. It's still the stadium in the same place.
It's the same place, but it's essentially a rebuild, I think. I think they rebuilt it.
Yeah, it's not refurbished. It wasn't updated. This has been 2 years worth, Jimmy. They've been playing in that temporary stadium, and they've had some games at Wrigley Field and stuff like that. They made it work, but, you know, they built the practice facility that right there on the lake. Northwestern has taken the influx of cash and spent it well. The stadium desperately needed updated. It was sort of like an old 1960s, 1970s, pretty much a bowl. With one, you know, level of second tier. It was a pretty cool stadium, but it definitely needed updated. So Friday night, Penn State gets to play there. It'll be a big game for Northwestern, but it'll also be a good road test for Penn State.
It will be. And a couple cool things about it, Andy. It's supposed to be very modern. It's a small stadium. I think it's like 35K capacity.
Correct.
Which, you know, it's right sizing it. Also, allegedly, but the stadium won't be ready for the first couple games that they play at home. I think it might have something to do with this. Also, this date falls on the anniversary of the original stadium opening. I think it's like on this date 100 years ago. I think they also want. Yeah, I think they also wanted to make it a big game. Hey, how about having it with Penn State as instead of some small, you know, out of conference team, which I think it also, Andy, for a program like Northwestern, I think it's great to show that they're doing the things that are necessary to compete. They're flexing some financial muscle. I guess this is the Ryan family. It's Ryan, was Ryan, it will be and has been Ryan Field. They're Correct. Giving the money to do it. Good for them. Good for Northwestern. I hope it helps make them a better team, draw in better players, draw in better crowds, make it kind of a must-see place to attend a game. My question, though, Andy, does this turn this into a tougher game for Penn State? Because it's a big game. It's on the road. It's a big game for Northwestern opening up the new stadium.
Yeah, I don't think there's a super Walmart between Penn State and Northwestern rosterized, Jimmy. Sorry. I think it's a 55-45 game, so this makes it harder. Don't forget, Penn State lost to Northwestern last year. Reminder, reminder. I know that was different, but it took a special effort to lose that football game with that talented of a roster. And this is a little bit more equal footing. Northwestern was not a doormat last year, and they, under this regime and, you know, the program the way it's run now, they're not going to win. They're not a 10-win team, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing I like about the direction they're heading, they're hard to beat. In other words, you can't show up with your B-minus game on the road and beat them at home. You got to do better than that. If you're, you know, one of the more talented teams, you gotta play a good football game to beat them. If you don't and let them have an opening, they have shown they have the capacity to understand when the opening is there and what it takes to walk through the door. But roster-wise, they're handicapped. But against Penn State, I see it as equal footing in 2026, Jimmy.
And, you know, I know Penn State doesn't do the Friday night home games, but when they're on the road, I kind of like these Friday night games. It's fun. It kicks off the weekend, Andy. I kind of enjoy it. All right. Next up, a recruiting loss for Penn State. Kimon Spell, five-star running back out of the Pittsburgh area. He had originally committed to Penn State and James Franklin, decommitted when James Franklin left, looked like he was ready to recommit to Penn State. We saw, you know, there were some of those forecasts by the gurus, and they're usually pretty tuned in. And then in the end, Kimon Spell commits to Georgia. Andy, what does this tell you, if anything, about Penn State recruiting with Matt Campbell?
Oh, Jimmy, nothing. Absolutely freaking nothing. I can't judge Matt Campbell based on what this recruiting class, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about it in our news and notes and through the course of today's show and et cetera. But I'm not willing to judge Matt Campbell on anything right now. He's still sweeping up shattered glass left all over the floor on the recruiting front. Don't judge it by this. It's essentially, he got Penn State back in with a shot. That's about as good as he could do. I think money played a role. Maybe Georgia had more money to offer. Georgia's certainly in a more elite sort of status right now. They made the playoffs last year, SEC champs, et cetera. It says nothing to me about Matt Campbell. Could be about opportunity. I don't know, you know, any of the details, but money, it's money. Georgia had more money. Come on, let's be honest.
Well, let's dive into a couple little details. There was talk, Kimon Spell, he's class of 27, okay?
Correct.
So he's a long way from the signing the paperwork. So things could still change, as we've learned. But it does seem to have all the feel of a financial decision. Yeah. He was, it appeared, ready to commit to Penn State, then doesn't. It seems like one of those last minute infusion of cash from somewhere else. Again, a lot of things could change. He was discussing reclassifying where he would be in the class of 26.
Yeah, I read that.
But that has gone away. I don't understand why there was some talk that if he had been able to, he would have been more likely to go to Penn State. I don't know about that. But I think the thing to remember, the point you make, Andy, is this is one player, one individual situation. It would have meant a lot to Matt Campbell and class of 27 recruiting if they had got him. Not getting him, though, I don't think tells us a whole lot. You know, where we can make some assumptions. All right. Let's move on, Andy. Next up, Matt Campbell. It was the official recruiting day this week, this past week on Wednesday. It also was a day for Matt Campbell to meet the press. My biggest takeaway from it, Andy, was the discussion of the blue-white game. I thought Matt Campbell did a great job at the press conference. The one thing, though, that I didn't like, he gave a very wishy-washy answer on blue-white weekend. Now, his hands may have been tied on it that they want to do some kind of official announcement next week. But he did not commit to playing a game, Andy. He used words like, well, we're going to do something. I'm sorry. Play the game, Andy. Play a spring game.
Wrong, wrong, wrong again, Jimmy. He did the Macarena. You're not going to get a spring game anymore. The game has changed. Get off your couch. Put your remote that's connected to your TV by a wire instead of digitally. Catch up with us, Jimmy. Any type of semblance of a game is, or a game as you would like to see it, or other fans would like to see it. And I kind of don't get the affliction with it. They're still going to open up the stadium. You still can see the players. The players still get to be in the stadium with fans, which will be kind of important this year. It's generally a nice day. It's kind of fun. I don't get it. Right? Like, I don't get it, but it's not going to happen. And I'm 100% that Matt knew exactly the Macarena dance he had to do. And he did it very well. You got 15 practices, and we're going to do something. I don't even think he knows what they're going to do. They're going to have a lot of injuries. They're going to have a lot of guys sitting out. They're going to have some guys that are limited. What you got last year in the final year, James Franklin, is more standard of what you're going to see for a spring game. It's just old habits die hard. I get it, Jimmy. I love you for it. I put my arms around you and give you a big hug. But you got to let that baby go. She gone. The ship has sailed.
Andy, you completely filled up the clock. I'm going to answer that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And Andy. End of first segment. We're talking about the potential for the blue-white weekend. What's going to go on? You told me I'm old world, old-fashioned, outdated. The thought of a scrimmage, an actual blue-white game, makes me a dinosaur. And Andy, you killed the clock. You ran it out. You went right up to the edge to quiet me, to keep me from responding. But no, Andy, no. I will not be quieted. I'm going to have my say on this. And my say is this. Play the stinking game. Have a scrimmage. You're spending all spring. You get 15 practices. Are you going to tell me you never scrimmage? You never scrimmage in those 15 practices? You're telling me that there's no value to scrimmaging? There's no value to starting the clock, giving the officials some whistles and playing some games. Hey, Rocco Beck is coming off an injury and some surgery. Hey, if Rocco Beck can't play,
not going to see him.
I'm okay with that. I would love to see him, but if injury keeps him out, so be it. If there's 10 other guys because of injury we can't see, that's fine. You know what, Andy? That still leaves us with 75 other players to see, Andy. And all these new faces, new names, I'd like to see them on the field. And to say that there's no value to put having a scrimmage and actually playing like it's a real game. That's how you learn. That's how you find out about these guys. Not doing some drills in front of the crowd. I'm sorry, Andy, but you, my friend, are wrong on this one.
I tried to help you, Jimmy. I tried to help you. I ran the clock out. I tried to keep you from being the get off my lawn, kids guy. There will be some kind. They will do some kind of modified type scrimmage thing during part of it. But for the most part, especially with a new coach, come on, Jimmy. It's going to be a dog and pony show, too. Anything that will be done will kind of be a dog and pony show. It'll all be centered on Matt Campbell because 14 practices aren't near enough to get you where you need to be, especially with a roster that where you're putting the pieces together like this. So you're trying to blend some old with some new, with something borrowed from Iowa State, maybe a sprinkle in a new. You see where I'm going?
And something blue, the blue uniforms from Penn State. Yeah. Well, Andy, just run some basic plays from scrimmage, force the defense to play man-to-man, no blitzing.
I think you'll see a little bit
there
of that.
There you go. I'm hoping we will. All right, Andy. As I said, this was also commitment week, commitment day. In other words, this is the commitment 2.0 that has no meaning. Typically, it's what happens in December now, the early commitment day, except if you're Penn State where there were two players committed back then. Matt Campbell did what he could do to salvage a recruiting class. He brought in some of his Iowa State recruits. Andy, any highlights from this group that they recruited?
None. To be honest with you, Jimmy, absolutely nothing. The way I look at this is, we'll probably talk about it a little bit more. He had a media session, which was interesting, and we always like to take those and do Jimmy's takeaways and Andy's takeaways and what stood out. And I know we're going to talk about it a little bit more. He didn't talk about the recruiting class during that. He really didn't. So, Nor was he asked about it, because it's the elephant in the room. It was the Pat Kraft shattered glass mess all over the floor that all Matt and his staff could do was inherit it, pick up the pieces, and try and make it a little bit less of a mess. I mean, he grabbed a handful of, you know, Iowa State recruits. He got a couple, maybe, kind of, hopefully, you know, top 300 maybe prospects. At the end of the day, the clock was always going to be, they're the lower third of the Big Ten. They're in the lower half of the country. He did what he could do with the shattered glass that was handed to him by his boss, but there isn't a single Penn State recruiting standard to measure him as a head coach or this staff or where he wants to take this program as he does, builds it through talent development. At the recruited side of it, there's nothing to measure this program by on the recruiting front under Matt Campbell at all. So it was just cleaning up the mess the best he could. It's like buying a 500-year-old house.
Well, I think, you know, the couple highlights, a couple highly rated defensive ends, Elijah Reed, Jackson Ford. I think that's worth mentioning. Two quarterbacks were brought in, which I think, you know, reading between the lines there, there was a Pennsylvania quarterback, Peyton Falzone, that came in prior to Matt Campbell arriving. I find it fascinating that he brought in another quarterback, which had been a commit to him out at Iowa State, a guy by the name of Case Evans out of Texas. And they got a highly rated punter. I think that's good news, too. And let's move on. As you mentioned, the press conference, and I took my notes from that. I want to get you to go first. Tell me what struck your fancy from the press conference.
It's been a whirlwind, right? Like, I didn't AI it and check how many times he said it, but that's his word. You have to find the words that he likes. I already mentioned one of the things that stuck out to me, he didn't talk about, nor was he asked about the recruiting class. I don't know why. I know why he didn't want to talk about it. I don't know why he wasn't asked it. Bad job, lads in the room. Somebody's got to, you got to talk about the elephant in the room so that everyone knows that there's an elephant in the room. I found that concern. I found it concerning, but I also understand, like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I don't blame him. The quarterback and the head coach are joined at the hip. Ah, interesting. Did you like that one? That change, that'll be evolving as the portal, you know, because quarterbacks are getting now the rep in the portal as one-year wonders, especially at the top levels. So we'll see if that stays, you know, as close-knit as it was. But it was kind of refreshing to hear that because we've known it all along. We've said it many, 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 many times. And I think he's kind of going to be one of those guys that at that position – and the, you know, the relative value and importance of that position as, and it continues to escalate. That's all we all know that. I don't think he's going to avoid the, I don't think he's going to, you know, kind of make it a Johnny Feelgood position. I think he's going to be like, this is the quarterback. This is my guy. And we're tied together. That I think that he was, that's just a precedent for him. And it feels for him to say that it just felt natural, normal, and right.
It's funny, Andy, that I literally wrote down tied at the hip, okay? And I think it also gives you an idea of how important that coach and quarterback being in sync, being together, how important that is, and makes you realize if there was any way possible he could bring Rocco back here, he was going to do that. He was effusive in his praise of Rocco Beck. So I took note of that. I also thought it was interesting, Andy. He has embraced the Penn State history. He's not afraid to mention Joe Paterno's name. Now,
told you.
It's natural though when he does. I would be leery if he forced it. If he kept, you know, using the name as almost to say, "See, I'm willing to do it." No, it comes in the natural flow. He doesn't overdo it. And he also, you know, referenced the guys, how important it was for Dan Connor and Trace McSorley to stick around. That, again, that's part of the Penn State history, and it was important to him. And he used an expression, I like it because I use it. He said it took him about 2 minutes of conversation with Dan Connor to realize that Dan Connor gets it. That tells me a lot. And then he mentioned Trace McSorley. He says there's a lot of similarities between Trace and Rocco. If that means you're telling me Rocco was a gamer like Trace was, I like that, Andy.
So here's what I'll say to you. And your evaluation is interesting. So it's astute as well. And this is for you Penn State fans out there. And there is this sort of nichiness to it. The way Matt does it, and you referenced it, like, okay, it doesn't seem like he was reading books, being coached, and watching YouTube videos to figure that out, right? It is not a staged, the way he works it in and flows it in, and the way it comes out of him and is presented to the public. That, you can't do it that way by watching YouTube videos and reading books and educating yourself. He didn't have to be educated on it, Jimmy. He understood it before he walked in the door. And now he has made it a conscious choice to make sure everybody knows that not only did he know it, but he sees exponential value in it. That's what I think he's trying to tell the fan base is, Yeah, I get it because I already know it and I understand it. And I understand it at a better level than most people know. But here's what you need to know as fans of the program and followers. It's going to be a relative important part of what I want to lay the foundation for as we move forward together. And you can't fake that, Jimmy. You can't bring that to the table and do it the way he does it and bring it across as a sales pitch. It's not a sales pitch.
There was one other thing that stuck out to me, and this is the way I wrote it, but I don't think he used these exact words, but you can't just take the talent without character also in building this team. You use the expression, Andy, it's not the best players, it's the right players. And I think that's part of what Matt Campbell's going to bring here. However, with that said, Andy, it's like this is a different level that you're playing at with Penn State versus Iowa State. Iowa State, you could recruit all three stars, coach them up. Many of them succeed. But you're going to be going up against teams like Oregon and Ohio State who are going to be coming in with those 4- and 5-star players. I think you still have to be able to recruit in that neighborhood. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. When we come back, listeners take over. We get their questions and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions and we ask Andy. Andy, I'm not going to ask you if you're ready. You're pumping your fists. That means you are ready to go. You are ready. You are primed. Let's do it. Let's start with John in Estero, Florida. You know where Estero is, Andy?
No idea. I don't know if that's the Jersey coast or the Gulf coast.
It's the Gulf side. It's the Gulf side.
The best side. The real side.
Ooh. Down south, it's down near, I know the Naples area. My folks had a place there. Estero was north of Naples, south of Fort Myers. John Ooh. Says, hey, Andy, at what point do we not call college athletes amateurs anymore and just call them semi-professional?
Yesterday. I mean, after the court settlement, right? Jimmy, the NCAA, the court settlement where, you know, the roster equity and a division of assets where everybody got a little bit of the taste. Of course, the bigger branded named NILs are always going to be worth more, but everybody's getting a taste. After that, what we already was in place, we've got free agency. You know, you've got rookie contracts, your recruiting class, right? That's how much of your assets do you put into your rookie class? How much of your assets do you put into your veterans and your free agents? So I don't know. What else do you know, everybody's getting a piece of the pie now. Yesterday. That's my answer, John. Good question, but I would say yesterday she gone.
You know, I get the question, and when you're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions of dollars, you know, to try and claim these folks as amateurs, you know, it's taking in a way a similar path to the Olympics. Remember, Andy, the Olympics used to be totally amateur?
Correct.
And you couldn't get paid at all. That has changed, but the Olympics are still the Olympics. college football is still college football, even though you're getting paid, right, Andy?
Yeah, so the quarterback at Miami, his name escapes me now because I'm old, and I just aged another year recently. But he had already graduated from Georgia. He didn't even go to class. He's already got his degree.
Well, I don't know if it's he wasn't going to class or he was taking some, you know, graduate programs, or after at that point, after he had finished his last semester.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
and anything that went into January, those players, if they were seniors, that's been going on for years, yeah. Andy. They've been done forever.
Done forever.
1969, you know, when they're playing January 1st, there were guys who had finished their, you know, right, college careers academically. But I think it's still, you know, John, they're still representing your college. Yes, you could question some of these guys, especially the guys at the top of the heap, the guys who are just killing time in college so they go to the NFL. Classes mean nothing to them. But the vast majority of players, as the saying goes, they're going professional in something other than their chosen sport. So whether these guys are going to class and getting a degree or not, or an education or not, you know what? It's their loss for the majority of them if they're not doing it. Okay, correct. Andy, I want to sneak this question in quickly before some of the other ones, just so we know it gets in because it's timely. Chris from New York says, who do you like in the Super Bowl and who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Seattle. I think Seattle's the better, more complete football team. They were my dark horse team, not at the beginning of the season, but after like a month and watching them, and then particularly when they played my Bucks, even though my Bucks beat them, but that was at a different point in the season. I'm like, holy crap, is Seattle scary? Like that, this team could be scary. They are young. They have so many elements, and they're just getting started. If it develops and they're coached well, and I figure McDonald was a good coach, I said they could be scary. They're the most balanced team in terms of offensive ranking and defensive ranking when you hit the playoffs. If you put the numbers together, who had the highest rank, both of them together, it was the Seahawks. I think they're playing well. I think New England's a year early. I'm excited for Vrabel. I think he's done a fantastic job. 9-0 on the road is ridiculous. And that quarterback does not get moved. He is so calm, cool, and collect. And he does my favorite thing. He makes the easy throws look easy. And I love that in a quarterback.
Well, from my standpoint, I'm with you. I'm picking Seattle. I'm rooting for Seattle. Mostly, Andy, because we do a show called Sean's Take, where Sean makes his picks, and so do I. I pick Seattle. Quick question for you. Because of that show, some research I did. Do you know what the odds were for Seattle to win the Super Bowl were before the season started?
650-1.
Oh, it's 60-1.
Yeah, well, but that's what I meant. Yeah. 65-1. Yeah.
Yep.
I always add a zero at the end. I'm sorry.
You do. But without adding the zero, if you had bet Seattle, New England for the Super Bowl and Seattle to win it, 3,100-1 before the season started, Andy. How about that? All right. Let's move on.
That's some research, Jimmy. That's some deep rabbit hole research, sir. Anyway, find us another one.
All right. Let's go with Jeff in Youngstown. This kind of hits something we talked about earlier. With Kayvon Spell's commitment to Georgia and Sam Gash to Michigan State, Matt Campbell has lost his first two real recruiting battles. Same question I asked. Any cause for concern?
Oh, come on, Jeff. I don't usually get on listeners asking questions. Come on, man. Really?
You think Jeff is as bad as I am, right?
Look at the absolute mess that he inherited on the recruiting front. A pilfered class. late to the ball game, hired late, missed the entire first window. You know, I don't count these as swing and misses. I count these as late Hail Marys that didn't connect. That's the way I'm looking at these. These are Hail Marys that didn't connect. Give him at least he didn't even have a shot in the first recruiting window, which is the most important window and the only recruiting window. He didn't have a shot. He wasn't in it. So these were Hail Marys that didn't hit. Give it a little time to breathe, Jeff. Let it breathe a little bit.
Well, and since I asked the same question as Jeff did, I'll be a little more sympathetic to Jeff with the question. But a couple things to balance out here is, as you said, it was kind of a last minute try to salvage it with Kamen Smell. The thing too, Andy, is it's at a position running back that I don't want to use dime a dozen, but there's a lot of good running backs, a lot of history at Penn State of bringing in very good running backs. I don't think that missing out on Spell means, that's it. Penn State won't be able to get a running back, okay? There's a lot of good ones out there. They've shown that they can do that time and time again. I think it would have been nice it would have been a nice win. I don't think it's a terrible loss. And the other thing to add to it is, with these kids so far out in advance committing, it's going to be forever till commitment day happens. This kid may change his mind two or three more times. And even if he doesn't, he might be available after 1 year at Georgia anyway.
Right.
The whole thing, Andy, has just changed. All right. Here's a good question. I think that I'm intrigued by how you're going to answer it. This is Jerry from Maryland who says, how much is recruiting now just about the money? I don't blame the players for going for the cash. Just curious if there's still any value in the traditional things that players used to look for in deciding which school to go to.
Yeah, I don't. Money clarifies, right? Money motivates. Money moves the needle. So therefore, it's a very interesting question, Jerry. If some of the things that you would look at as traditional, some of them, and I'm not saying they're all gone, but some of them, their shelf life has expired. That doesn't mean, I'm talking generally and overall, that doesn't mean there aren't certain cases where, say, for example, in Pennsylvania, a kid wants to play at Penn State and it doesn't matter the money, give me a decent offer and I'm going to go there over somebody who's going to offer me more. You'll still find those occasionally, but they're not a cornerstone, right? You can't look at that as, well, this is Pennsylvania and these are Pennsylvania kids and we're going to be a cornerstone in our state. You can't do that anymore. That's dangerous for you as a football recruiting staff to think that that's relevant. Money moves the needle, changes, and elevates. So I think it's like, I think it's like 70% against the money, about the money, 20% about the coach and the person and the coaching staff and who you connect with. And I think it's 10% about what we used to know as a recruiting sort of, you know, the things you hung your hat on. I think it's still maybe about 10% of those.
Andy, I think I often do this, especially now that money is changing hands. Let's relate it to the real world. So, Jerry, you're between jobs. You're out interviewing. You're looking for work. Or even maybe not even between jobs. You are already at a job. But you're thinking of leaving. How important is money to that equation? It's always going to be a big part of the equation. You know, it may not be the first question. It might be the last question. But it's part of the decision that you make. Okay. Yep. With that said, though, there's other issues. Who you're working for? Is the job fulfilling? those kind of things.
So, Andy, money matters, but it's not the only thing. All right, that's it for Ask Andy. We got one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four of our show, Andy. We had a good Ask Andy segment. Hey, here's what I want to hit you up on. I sent you this article yesterday. CBS Sports had an article out, early Big Ten rankings, okay? I think they called it power rankings. I'm not sure if that means it's not exactly a prediction of how the teams are going to finish. And I think partially, without looking at the different teams' schedules, you can't do that. You can't predict the finish without at least looking at the schedules, which is a big part of it. So let's go with this as a power ranking. And I'm going to give you, I'll take the mystery out. He has Penn State seventh. Excuse me, the teams he has ahead of them: Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, USC, Washington, and then Penn State. How do you like that top seven?
I think once you get to see, and I agree, I thought once you got to Washington at six, it doesn't matter how you put them. Frankly, I think USC should be ahead of Michigan, but that's just me. I think Washington slotted perfectly. After that, which is where Penn State is, the next five or the next four, I'd say, I include Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, Nebraska. Those are the next four or five teams. I think those are your box of chocolate teams. I don't care who you put seven and who you put 11, right? Kind of doesn't matter to me. I think those are your middle-of-the-pack teams. So those are your elite teams. Those are your middle-of-the-pack teams. I think the top five, and I would put USC ahead of Michigan, but I'd put them both in the top five. I think he's got the right five teams. I think Washington is Washington is either the gate crasher or they could fall off a cliff and be a middle-of-the-pack team. They're that one team in the Big Ten in 2026 that could change the dynamic. And here's what the Big Ten needs. At the upper levels, they're elite, right? They've won three national championships in a row, right? They haven't had much depth the last 2 years in the 12-team football playoff, and since the conference expanded to 18, there hasn't been much depth to it. There's not much meat on the bone after the second or third team in the conference. It falls off a cliff. I'd like for the conference to be a little better. And I think if the conference is going to take that step, Washington is that kind of team that'll show the depth, that this conference has a little bit more depth moving forward. But definitely don't think Penn State is one of the elite teams. Definitely think they're middle of the pack. However, they do have probably the most favorable, one of the most favorable, if not the most favorable schedule in the entire conference. So, how much do you factor that in? I got to wait and see a little bit of football first before I start factoring the schedule in, but they're definitely a middle of the pack team.
Andy, and I'm going to go a little bit different on how you group the teams. I don't really have too big an issue of how those, first seven they had ranked. But Where I'll question you a bit on is the depth. And I think the only conference you could compare them to is the Southeast Conference. And I think we've gone through so many years of, well, Texas and Oklahoma, who came in from, you know, the Big 12, they're always good. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Florida, the reputation precedes them.
Correct.
But I think we've found over the last couple of years at the very top, you know, the Big Ten has been doing better.
Much better.
Because Southeast Conference hasn't played in the conference championship game. I think we also found that this last year, Southeast Conference got five teams into the playoffs. That tells you how deep they are. No. What that tells you is there's a perception of them. You know,
Alabama.
Alabama gets in with three losses. You know, Texas A&M was seeded very highly with one loss. Their schedule last year is comparable, was as bad as Penn State's schedule is this year.
Comparable and bad. You use both words together. I love it.
Yes. So when and I think you saw that now Indiana is at the top of the heap. So you don't think of them as a depth team anymore. But I think the fact that they jumped up, here's how I would split up the power base. Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon, they're a cut above everybody else, in my take, Andy. Then Michigan, with the changeover in coach, I think they brought in a very good coach. I think they did really well.
Yep.
But since their national championship, Michigan has, you know, struggled a bit. They got to reestablish themselves. I think USC can be that team. They're investing a lot of money into their recruiting, their portal. I think
they're quietly
they can reach
building.
That.
They're quiet. Yes, I agree. I got to see it, but I agree.
Right. That's where I am too. Got to see it to believe it.
I want to see it.
Washington has that capability. They changed over coaches last year, so they had to go through that. Now they're going through this quarterback situation with Damond Williams is back. Is he all in? Remember, he wanted to leave.
Litigation,
Then Penn State, and I get the understanding that people have, like, hey, they're going to have to go through a rebuilding year here, all the transition, new coach, new team in essence. How are they going to go through that? But I think this is also a team that they might be what Indiana was 2 years ago. Take advantage of the soft schedule, win 10 games, sneak into the playoffs. Maybe you don't deserve it yet. But so I think you have three elite teams, then Michigan, USC, Washington, and Penn State, all vying to be the next in line.
Yeah, I think I do agree with you about the SEC and perception. However, I do still inherently think the SEC is stronger when you go, if you go 16 deep or 17 deep. And what the Big Ten has done in the first 2 years of the 12-team plan, like they would have two or three teams in the top five in the country, right? And with Penn State, that I go back 2 years ago, Penn State was that third team in. And really, kind of really didn't have that third team this year. Was supposed to be Penn State, but it wasn't. They don't. Beyond that, though, Jimmy, then you look at it, and nationally, when you're then they're in the 20s, or sometimes they don't have a fourth team rank. So I want to see more 9-win teams, 9-3, another 10-2 team. You know, other than the elite of the elite.
Well, remember, Andy, they've been playing 9 games against each
other. I know.
Okay, so there's your couple extra losses. And if you look at the bowl games, when there's head-to-head matchups, the Big Ten has been kicking the SEC's butt. Now, let's look at this. Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, that was the order they had them in. Andy, make your prediction for this coming season. Give me that top three in order, because I think we both agree they're the top three teams.
Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon. Ohio State, then Indiana, then Oregon. That's my prediction. I think Ohio State on paper is still the best roster and most talented roster in college football. They're still the best. Can they put the pieces together? That's just going to be the question with Ohio State. They've got a new offensive coordinator, got some experience. Can he mesh that offensive line and pull it all together with those receivers and the quarterback? And he's got to figure some things out at wide receiver. I think they could be a more defensive team, believe it or not, in 2026, but I'm still going to ride their talent and say that at the end of the day, it flips back and Ohio State is top of the heap in the Big Ten.
Andy, I hate when we agree with each other, but I'm with you, except for one thing, and I mentioned this earlier, schedule. I don't know if you look closely at next year's schedule.
This is who
Ohio State has on their schedule. Man, if they win 10 or 11 games, they earned it. They are at Texas. They have Oregon. They are at Indiana. They are at Iowa. They also play Michigan, and they play Illinois. Oh, and they're at USC. So, you know, how you rank those top teams, Oregon, Michigan, USC, Indiana, they have all of them, those teams, plus they have Texas at a conference. If I'm in agreement, they're the better team than Indiana talent-wise, but also, boy, they've got a tough, tough schedule to go through. And just to mention Indiana, of course, they have Ohio State, at Michigan, USC, and at Washington on their schedule.
Sometimes, Jimmy, I'm a fan of an iron sharpens iron type schedule. I just have a funny feeling that maybe that kind of schedule is exactly what Ohio State sort of needs to help them pull it together and realize their talent fully. Let's be honest. Last year was choppy. It was choppy at best. And I know they had injuries along the offensive line, and the offensive line was a problem. I get all that, but it was still choppy. I think, you know, they don't have much breathing space for choppy. They've got to do it well. And it just feels to me, this is just a weird Andy thing, that I just feel like in this case with this team and where they're at, they kind of need this. This is what they really need.
And it doesn't hurt that they have Julian Sain back and the best player in the game and Jeremiah Smith back. Real quick, just want to mention quarterbacks on these teams. Indiana brought in Josh Hoover to quarterback. Is Cignetti going to be 3 for 3 picking out quarterbacks? Oregon's got Dante Moore back. Michigan's got Bryce Underwood back. USC's got Jaden Maeva back. Washington has Damon Williams back. Yep. I think that's all important for all of those teams, Andy.
Yeah, that's why they're 1 through 6, right, Jimmy, in the Big Ten rankings here.
That is it. All right, Andy, that is it. The final word for the show. Thank you, Andy. Have a good trip next week. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you come back again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.